Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I wrote a blog about whether or not House Speaker Nancy Pelosi should be denied communion. This came up recently with Joe Biden, president, who is a devout Catholic, but he's pro-choice. And this is one of the conflicts that happens in the church. There were people in the church who openly said that communion should be denied to President Biden because he's pro-choice. Now the Archbishop of San Francisco has declared that the Speaker of House, Nancy Pelosi, is barred from accepting Holy Communion in any church in San Francisco because of her pro-choice position. But yet, pro-choice Catholics are allowed to go to communion. Is that hypocritical? And what about all the other sins? And there can be people like me who are pro-life and pro-choice. I'm pro-life because I'm against abortion, but I'm pro-choice because I don't think it's up to me to tell a woman what to do. And I realize the argument that surrounds being pro-life. I get the argument. I get the argument about life begins at conception and that that is a person worthy of being protected by the state. I understand that argument. But I'm not the one to make the decision. And as long as men can impregnate women and walk away with their two legs, then it seems unfair for people to make a decision about what a woman can do with her body. But that's a different topic. We're specifically talking about pro-choice Catholics and pro-choice Catholics whose pro-choice position is known. Father James Wehner was listening to the show. He is president of Notre Dame Seminary. Father, I welcome you to the show.
Thank you. It's my first time. Well, I appreciate being on the air.
First time caller, man. We're going to give you the treatment like we give everybody else. Thank you for being a first time caller, and thank you for listening to the show. And I think I should start by saying, forgive me, Father, for I have sinned in my thoughts and sometimes my behavior on this show.
Well, I'm not calling to argue. I just thought it might be helpful to provide some clarifications for the listeners.
That would be great.
Again, I'm not calling to argue. I'm not representing the Archdiocese in this call or the seminary, just as a priest that might have an insight, which you may or disagree with me or agree with me.
No, I would appreciate your insight.
Okay. Well, the first thing, I really appreciate you distinguishing that we're all sinners, and when we go to communion, that's not the time for an examination where we don't know the sins of every person, so I agree with you 100%. One little clarification, as you may know, going to communion is actually not required when you go to Mass. So, in fact, anyone who presents themselves for Holy Communion, it's presumed that they're already in a state of grace. So the different sins you were listing off before, you're absolutely right. There's a hierarchy of sins, nevertheless, but one should not be presenting themselves for communion. That's not a condemnation. That's not a judgment. It's more of, is the person really prepared in that moment to receive communion? If they're not, that's totally fine. You know, that's you don't have to go to communion Mass. Yeah.
Now, would you agree that there are Catholics who are remarried, their first marriage was not annulled, and they were originally they were told that they're not welcome to communion.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the church, we don't always do a good job with communicating. It's not about expectations. And you've been reading that quote from Pope Francis, which is dead on and spot on. The Eucharist, the church, she exists for sinners in that way. So all kinds of people have all different types of sin. Our Lord has given us a path to be able to not be burdened by that sin. We call it confession, so that we can live life without second-guessing ourselves, judging ourselves, or judging other people. And your concern about hypocrisy, again, is spot on. The inconsistencies that we see in the life of the church. I'm the rector of the seminary. I've got 130 seminarians here who fail often, like you do, to say, why is the leadership, cherry-picking certain topics, and it's inconsistent often with where people's lives are really at. So I agree with you on that.
So can I ask you, and if you don't want to answer, you don't have to answer, but can I ask you, is the Archbishop of San Francisco, is he right to make this announcement that Nancy Pelosi is not invited to communion? She's barred from communion.
Yeah, I think the background to this is all the American bishops took up this topic last year. And at the behest of Pope Francis, I think they all pretty much agreed that their pastors first. So when there is conflict, can you reach out to the individual? Don't embarrass them. Don't judge them. Mm-hmm. Now, according to the statement, as I read the whole thing, I don't know. I presume it's all true. It sounds like the Archbishop has been trying to reach her. And at least according to the statement, she has not responded to his invitation. So, you know, she's from San Francisco, right, which means that's, you know, he's her bishop. I don't know how true that all is.
So no, I know that part. That part of the story is true, Father. From what I've read, that part of the story is true. He has reached out to her, but she hasn't gotten back to her, but gotten back to him. I just, I'm a Catholic. I was born Episcopal. I became a Catholic. I was baptized, confirmed Catholic I was baptized before I got married, then confirmed. Because my wife was Catholic, but I've made some mistakes in my life. I've made some big mistakes, sure. And I have a conversation with God every day about that. And it seems to me that it's hypocritical to, I mean, I'm public about my pro-choice position, but I'm adamantly pro-life, but I'm pro-choice. Just based on the technicality that I don't think I should be making that decision, but I am pro-life. I go to communion. Is that wrong?
No. So I think the distinction as you were making earlier on why would Catholic politicians be called out and not individual people, and I appreciate, and I think that's the Pope appreciates that as well. Maybe the inconsistency. I think when you quoted the Catechism a little bit earlier. There's a distinction between the proliferation of sin or the socialization of sin, for example, slavery, right? Where this isn't just about the individual sin of a person, which might even become known. Rather, it's the advocacy of sin to say, not only is this a right, but we're going to find ways to proliferate what we believe, you know, in this case, slavery, abortion, that those are social sins, and to promote this as a right. For many, it would be scandalous. So within the Catholic Church, many Catholics would find not just someone who's pro-choice, but are advocating and trying to codify the sin and actually making it more than – I think that's the distinction here. Now, the Archbishop of San Francisco, you know, he made this judgment, and that's on his conscience. But I think the background, the Holy Father and the bishops of the United States were really hoping – to have dialogue, and at the very, very last resort, if something like this has to happen, not for punitive, but to avoid scandal. Again, I agree with you. It's like going to the airport. We're not going to put scanners up at the communion line and say, as you're presenting yourself, right, who has what sin. That the communion line is not the place to have these debates.
Right, and then if you answer the question, you couldn't lie because that would be another sin.
Exactly. So I think that the premise in the very beginning is, and it's not for Catholic guilt, that no one has to present themselves for Holy Communion if they have a particular sin, to go to Mass, to worship, absolutely. So I think that the Church needs to do a better job in trying to help people understand that presenting yourself for communion is not integral to the Mass. However, it's the most intimate way we can experience mm-hmm. our Lord as well. So,
you know, you may not, you may be too young to remember this, but I'm sure you're aware of it. But when I got married for the first time in the early 70s, like 1973, taking birth control pills was a controversial thing in the church. Right. The church was against birth control pills. And yet the priest who married us said it was really up to us as a young couple to decide what we should do. It seems like there's a lot of that happens on the parish level, but then you've got some bishops or some priests that will try to grandstand with a bigger issue like this issue of being pro-choice and not taking communion.
Right, right. So I appreciate you. You shared that to the listeners earlier when you first got married. Yeah, back in the late 60s, early 70s, and this went on for years, the theologians under Pope Paul VI were debating the whole thing of contraception. So even back then, this was not a very clear argument. Eventually, of course, the Pope then said that contraception in itself is not permissible. So that the church has been consistent since then. Now, individual couples who are practicing this, they need to, you know, work out this type of a decision with their parish priest, obviously, the formation of their conscience around truth. That's what we would believe in all of this. So it's messy, and I agree with you, to cherry pick one issue over another, the grandstand, that's not very helpful. The church is all about mercy. The church is all about bringing everybody together because we're all sinners. And you point out, rightfully so, and I'm embarrassed as a Catholic priest, of what some of my brother priests, you know, I'm from Pittsburgh, but down here as well, the scandal that we bring upon ourselves. The first scandal was at the Last Supper. Judas Iscariot was betraying our Lord and committed suicide. So right from the beginning, this has been with us. That doesn't mean that this should be accepted, that there should be moral outrage. And I appreciate when you address certain topics of pedophile priests and priests who have abused. But at the end of the day, that doesn't change the teaching of the church around these certain matters. And it gets, you know, it's very difficult. There's a gray area sometimes with the lives of people, and the church can't, we have to meet people where they're at.
You know, and Father, yeah. the only time that I bring up pedophile priest is when I point out some of what I think are harsh judgments of the Catholic Church today, because that was a, you know, that was a rough time, and many people within the church hierarchy were very aware of what was going on. So for them to pass harsh judgment on parishioners, I think I bring that up to point out hypocrisy. I don't hold them to that sin, because it seems like a lot is being done to do something about the pedophile priest. I don't think it is the same in a lot of ways.
Right. I'm the rector of the seminary, so in some ways, me and the priests that are here, we're responsible for screening who gets ordained, who does not get ordained. Mm-hmm. So we have a healthier way of using psychological testing in ways that where those protocols were not in place earlier. Again, that doesn't excuse the crimes committed by priests in that way. But the broader picture here, I appreciate you putting this topic on your air, and, you know, should Speaker Pelosi be denied or not? And it's a debate. The bishops have the debate.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're debating amongst themselves. What's the best pastoral practice? You know,
well, Father, I'm honored that you're listening to the show and that you heard us talk about this and that you called in and offered your expertise. Before I let you go, what's the toughest challenge of teaching young priests to be priests?
Yeah, the most difficult for me is when I have to dismiss a seminary and just say you are not called to this, and that's when that young man, his whole hope and aspiration is towards priesthood, but we cannot ordain mediocrity. So that's the most difficult. Secondly, to what's relevant to this discussion is that, hey, no one's perfect. People's lives are messy. We cannot ordain men who are going to stay in their rectories and their sacristies and not get their hands dirty in the lives of everyday folks. You know?
What do you mean, get your hands dirty? What do you mean by that?
Well, so I preach to the guys here. Yes, we celebrate Mass. We have administration of the rectory, but we're not ordained to stay in our churches. We move from into the mm-hmm. neighborhoods, into everyday people's lives. And if the priest is above all of that, you know, we call that mm-hmm. clericalism, mm-hmm. where the priest doesn't know how to enter into everyday people's lives. Well, that we're not going to ordain guys like that. We're ordaining boots on the ground priests. And we're sinners.
Yeah.
You know, so the moment the priest forgets that he himself is a sinner, then we're doing something wrong in seminary formation.
Father Jim Wehner, president of Notre Dame Seminary, thank you much for listening, and thank you very much for your time and expertise.
God bless you and your listeners.
All right. Thank you. Thanks. Father Wehner, calling into the show. Any questions? The Okanagan Jewelers Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. What about birth control? That's another one. Birth control. You take pills? You go to communion? The title of this song is It's a Sin by the Pet Shop Boys. And so I am flattered that Father Wehner agreed with me on so many points. Not because I want to be right. I mean, everybody wants to be right. But because I think my approach to this is right and is just. And that so much lies between us and God, even through the medium of the Catholic Church. If you want to join us with a comment, the Okanagan Jewelers Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. We're coming right back with your comments, your calls, and your text on WWL.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
On the SOTA Rock Culture Calendar, sponsored by Ramsey's Jewelers, it was on this day, May 23rd, 1970, that Eric Burdon, who was the lead singer of The Animals, they were a big successful group as part of the early British invasion in America. Eric Burdon was with The Animals. On this day in 1970, his new band released this song that debuted on the charts. It was their first single on the charts. You know what band that was? War. The band War. Spill the Wine. Eric Burdon. I'm Scoot. Let's before I get to your calls and more of your texts, for those of you just tuning in, let's give you a quick update on this controversy. An archbishop, the archbishop in San Francisco, has publicly said Nancy Pelosi, the House Speaker, is barred from accepting communion in all San Francisco churches because of her pro-choice position.
Salvatore Cordiglione said he sent Speaker Pelosi a letter April 7th expressing his concerns after she vowed to codify the Supreme Court's Roe v. Wade decision establishing a constitutional right to abortion into law. Cordiglione said Pelosi never responded. He said he told Pelosi in the letter that she must either repudiate her support of abortion rights or stop speaking publicly about her Catholic faith. Cordiglione over the past year has been among the most outspoken U.S. bishops advocating that communion be denied to President Joe Biden and other politicians who support abortion rights. I'm Norman Hall.
Yeah, I think that's hypocritical. I think it's hypocritical to deny communion to the politicians who are pro-choice and not deny it to Catholics who are pro-choice. And what about Catholics who use birth control pills? The church is against that. Should you be accepting communion? What about the adults and the young people that go to communion and they're having sex out of wedlock? What about the people who have been remarried and their original marriage was not annulled? Why are they going to communion? They're not invited by the church. Now, look, Pope Francis has changed a lot of this. And Pope Francis is in disagreement with this archbishop in San Francisco. And it just seems like there's a lot of hypocrisy here that needs to be addressed. Let's get to some of your calls. Let's go to Lafayette. Curtis, you're on WWL. Good afternoon, Curtis.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good.
Good. A couple of things. One, you know, one of the concerns I have in your whole conversation is that the authority that you're relying on is twofold. One, what is your opinion as an individual? Although that's important and it's a nice thing to ask of anyone, that's not the final authority on decisions like this. The Bible is where we need to be taking our information from. I appreciate the Catholic Church. There's much good within the church. There's a lot of argument within the church. And it just concerns me that even the Catholic priest who was talking a while ago, he's looking far inward toward a decision on how to affect the idea of communion. What about the effects of abortion? You yourself feel like it's just something that an individual should choose. No, we shouldn't. We should look at the author and finisher of our faith, and that's the Bible, not an organized religion. And that's something I wanted to point out.
Well, you know, I generally agree with that. I mean, there's nothing specific mm-hmm. in the Bible about abortion. There's nothing specific in the Bible about birth control. There's nothing specific in the Bible about abusing...
mostly communion.
Abusing people. Yeah, and, you know, the Southern Baptist Convention is dealing with abuse right now. I mean, just countless cases of abuse. So even Bible-based religions are having issues to deal with.
Well, they are. I mean, I live in Lafayette, and it's a heavily Catholic and Baptist city. It's everywhere. But again, that's where I think a lot of our culture is taking a wrong turn. If we're going to be Christians, let's be Christians under the name of Jesus, first and foremost, beyond any other organized religion. And that, again, it's not my opinion. It's the way the Bible instructs us.
But Curtis, the Bible was written by men. You can argue mm-hmm. that God guided men, but men wrote the Bible, and they wrote mm-hmm. the Bible congruent with the times that they lived in.
Mm-hmm.
And if the mm-hmm. Bible were written today, I don't think women would be as excluded as they were in the Bible because it was a different political time. So if the Bible were written today, it would be different.
When Jesus, throughout the four Gospels, mentions women in the church, it had nothing to do with politics. It had nothing to do with the times. It had everything from his perspective to do with the order of the church.
So
not you and not me.
You're entitled to this opinion, and it is your mm-hmm. interpretation of the Bible that mm-hmm. that women are more subservient because of what I read in the Bible.
I've never said that. The
Bible suggests certain things that women are not in positions of power. The Catholic Church uses the Bible. The Catholic Church uses the Bible to deny women priesthood.
Yeah, but they don't use the full Bible. They use maybe three or four books of the entire canonized Bible. They use their own Bible, and that's a big problem too, and you know that. But the last thing I'll leave with you is put those comments of yours into context, okay? Subservient women. Read the scriptures ahead of where you're citing and after, and understand Jesus isn't making anybody subservient. Jesus is making women high, high on the pecking order. But what he is saying is there are certain responsibilities and rules of behavior for both men and women. Learn to embrace who
and
you
that
are and
is,
who you are in the church.
And that is subject to the
follow
times.
Follow my lead. Last thing I'll leave you with is
yes.
Last week I wanted to crawl through the radio with you, though. You had mentioned Tucker and how he was asking for the transcripts of the new Supreme Court appointment.
Tucker Carlson, not Tommy Tucker. Yeah. Tucker Carlson. Okay.
Yeah, Tucker Carlson.
Okay.
And but he didn't ask for any of the other judges' transcripts.
Right.
And first and foremost, you're exactly right. It's only one he admitted to asking for. But what you're not doing is putting everything he said on that show, as a matter of fact, over two shows, into context. The reason why he asked very specifically for hers and no one else is because her record of being overturned is huge. It is very troubling. I have a sister who's a federal judge. I called her a couple of weeks ago and said, can you pull her record? She said, sure. She pulled her record. This woman has been overturned by higher courts more than anybody who's ever been considered for Supreme
Curtis,
Court.
Curtis, there was, I understand the point you're making, and it's a fair point, but there were other things that I brought up about Tucker Carlson that I have significant problems with. I have to end the conversation. I appreciate that you called and shared your opinion with us. Before I get to break, we got to go uptown to Pete. Pete, you're on WWL.
I think you're incorrect. I think there was there is a mention of abortion in the Bible, but it's actually an instruction on how to perform one. So the idea that that the Bible is actually anti-abortion is technically incorrect. But the idea that this priest who, lives in a multi-million dollar mansion and lives among homeless people in San Francisco and very poor. The hypocrisy of the Catholic Church after what they did to the protected the pedophiles for decades, not for like a year or two, for decades.
Oh,
they let
know.
These pedophiles run rampant through
absolutely.
The church. But the idea that somehow the church that it's got this last caller was saying we have to look to the Bible. No, we don't. This is not a theocracy.
Right.
In Afghanistan, a 12-year-old girl gets raped, and she's forced to give birth to that child. Oh, guess what? That's not Afghanistan. That's the state of Mississippi.
Yeah.
Like, do you think the state of Mississippi should be applying their version of
of
Christianity?
Well, you and I agree
on
that. We agree on that. What part of the Bible explains how to perform an abortion?
I think it's in like Deuteronomy. I read this thing online. It's either, some part of the Bible. There's only one mention, and it actually talks about the performance of abortion. And here's the other thing. The only thing that the Bible says about life, when does life begin? It's at the first breath. The first breath. So guess what?
Yeah.
Life doesn't even begin until you're out of the womb. So the Bible is completely inconsistent and really, in many ways, pro-choice. So, and the fact that these Republicans, these right-wing Republicans, are rallying behind Donald Trump. I mean, can you think of a bigger sinner in your life than a guy that has been with so many prostitutes when he was married?
Well, I don't know how many he was with, but I mean, I guess.
Well, we know he paid for one, and he's cheated on three wives. He's had three, and he's cheated on all of them, at least one of them with a hooker.
Some men do that.
We know about.
Yeah,
and it's just disgusting that the Republicans think that the lining up behind him, who cheats on his taxes, doesn't pay his contractors. He's a liar. He's their savior.
Let's not bleed that conversation into this. But I mean, I'm very honest about my feelings about Donald Trump, and I think it's just amazing that so many people want to pretend that liking Donald Trump is somehow a prerequisite for being a conservative or a Republican, and it's not. You can be a Republican or a conservative. You can like Republicans and conservatives and not like Donald Trump in the same way that not all Democrats like the same candidates. On this day, May 23rd, on the rock culture calendar, on this day in 1977, Jefferson Airplane was barred from giving a free concert at Golden Gate Park in San Francisco. Why? Well, because the Archbishop in San Francisco... No, that wasn't it. Jefferson Airplane was barred from giving a free concert at Golden Gate Park in San Francisco because authorities just passed a resolution banning electronic equipment And they later wrote the song, We Built This City, about the ban. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
And on the SOTA Rock Culture Calendar for today, on this day in 2012, Billboard reported that the albums of Donna Summer increased in sales by over 3,000% in the week following her death with her battle with cancer. We should do a better job of appreciating people when they're still alive. Let's go to the West Bank. Mike, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Scoot. I've been listening to all of this, and I know you're just about out of time. I don't only agree with you. I agree with you on this. The problem, as I see it, as a humble Catholic, I can't even practice my Catholicism because of my marital situation. Okay. But the problem is the church it should not be listening to anybody's confession. It should be a private matter between the individual and God.
Now, I agree.
The problem is the 20th chapter of John, verse 23, is the one that they'll hang their hat on. That day, the Pope, the church will hang their hat. And with Christ, just before he's about ready to exit on the cross, he took to his apostles. He says, you go out there, and whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven. Whose sins you shall retain, they are retained. Yeah. And that's what they hang their hat on. But you see, there's all kind of incongruities in the church.
Mm-hmm.
If I can tell you, and you're right about the church, the Bible, the Bible is not infallible. Now, if I were to read to you, though I have searched repeatedly, I have not found what I was looking for. Only one out of 1,000 men is virtuous, but not one woman. Now, my friend, that comes from Ecclesiastes 7:28. I've checked that online. I've checked it in various Bibles. So it's not a matter of misinformation. It's there. Now, again, we get to the issue of slavery. Slavery, okay, I don't care. The slavery, according to today, people could probably say, well, slavery is in the Bible. And Paul says, if you're a good slave, be a good slave. If you're a free man, be a good free man. It's the church has become a look. I just got to quickly add. I married a woman who was divorced. Okay, I had nothing to do with that divorce. Now today, I still can't go to. Oh, I can go to this year long class, but I can't receive communion. I go to church. I don't go to church because I'm a priest or anybody. I go to pay my respects to God for my blessings.
I understand.
Now, if I can't receive the communion. Physically, I can receive it spiritually. But as much as I dislike Nancy Pelosi, the guy's wrong. You can't call out anybody. You can't call out anybody.
Mike, I totally agree. I've got to move on here. I really appreciate the call and glad that we agree on this. Ian Hoke has found the place in the Bible that might make reference to abortion.
Numbers chapter 5, verses 19 through 22 says, but If you have gone astray while under your husband's authority, if you have defiled yourself and some other man other than your husband has intercourse with you, let the priest make the woman take the oath of the curse and say to the woman, "The Lord make you an execration and an oath among your people. When the Lord makes your uterus drop, your womb discharge, now may this water that brings the curse enter your bowels and make your womb discharge, your uterus drop, and the woman shall say, Amen, Amen."
Wow. That's profound.
Yeah.
I mean, there are people who say we should take the Bible literally. What about that part?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I had no idea. I mean, I'm not a biblical expert. Don't pretend to be.
Neither me.
But I had no idea that was in the Bible. I think a lot of people don't know that was in the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Got some other quick texts here if you want.
Very quick. Okay.
Okay, very, very quick. Here's one that says, "I thought that communion is the body of Christ, so how can any one of us sinners have any say on who can and who can't receive it? If there is any discrepancy with someone receiving it, then God and God alone will deal with that and how he sees fit. I don't care. If you're a pope, a deacon, or whatever, as a human, you have sin and no place to judge anyone at all."
Hallelujah.
I'll leave you with this. Diversity of listeners on your show, Scoot, is tremendous.
It is. It's something that I appreciate every,
really cool.
every single day. All right. We will come back to wrap up the show. You know, we didn't get to talk about it. I missed it because I got wrapped up in watching Top Gun. It was on Saturday night, and I'm getting ready to go see Top Gun Maverick, the new version, the sequel coming out. And I didn't see the last episode of Saturday Night Live, but it was the season finale this past week, and some big names have left the show. We'll talk a little bit about that tomorrow. Also, we didn't get to the topic about Laura Dern from Jurassic Park being upset at the age difference between her and Sam Neill, the character she was, you know, co-starring with. She said they were 21 years apart, and that was inappropriate. Wow. We'll get to that on the show tomorrow. We'll be back on WWL. I realize that this discussion that we had today is very personal and very passionate for many of you. I am very satisfied that Father Jim Wehner, president of Notre Dame Seminary, agreed with much of what I was saying. And I think it just goes to show you that I'm just not mouthing off here. And he basically said that communion is not the time of examination as to whether or not somebody deserves communion. And so I think the Archbishop in San Francisco is wrong to deny communion to Nancy Pelosi because she's pro-choice. Sports Talk with Bobby Christian and Mike coming up next. I want to thank our Program Director and Brand Manager, Diane Newman, our Market Manager, Kevin Cassidy, and our Assistant Program Director and Brand Manager and Senior Producer of Scoot on the Air, Ian Hoke. As always, I thank you for being part of the show. I'm Scoot. Have a great afternoon. Love you, New Orleans.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.